The message this morning is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. And these are very well-known words, and it's one of the most moving descriptions of the Christmas message. Let me just read 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Now, you will be surprised to learn that this gem of a verse is found in the most unpromising of settings, because the Apostle Paul is dealing with financial matters, not the most exciting of topics. But even when he's dealing with such mundane things as accounts, he manages to bring in the message of the gospel. So let us briefly this morning look at this description of what happened at Christmas. And taking Spurgeon's golden hammer and striking the verse with it, it divides neatly into several sections. First, Jesus Christ was rich. When was he rich? He was born in a stable in Bethlehem. That's how poor the family were. And Joseph was a carpenter. What does it mean when it says he was rich? Well, the Messiah was born in that stable, but Christ is from everlasting. And that's how rich he was. We are often reminded of this when we have, in Nine Lessons in the Carol, reading from John chapter 1. And this is how rich Jesus Christ was. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You can't get any richer than that babe born in that manger in Bethlehem was none other than the eternal Son of God. And he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's how rich he was. He was in the courts of heaven, and he not only created all things, but he upholds all things by the word of his power. So he was rich. We must get rid of this notion at Christmas that what we are remembering is something sentimental. Oh no, that baby in Mary's arms was none other than the Son of God. That's the first thing. Then secondly, he was rich, but he became poor. Now that's the key. How poor did Jesus Christ become? Well, let's follow the path of his life here. That is why we read from Philippians chapter 2. He is God. He is with the Father and with the Spirit in glory, in the courts of heaven, the palace. How poor did he become? Well, he left the glory and came down into this world with all of its imperfections, leaving that bliss and purity and coming into this sin-sick, dark world. Now, that is humbling. But not only did he come into this world, you will recall one Christmas, a member of the royal family, I think it was Prince William, for one night only, visiting the homeless around Piccadilly in central London. And I don't know if he slept with them, but it was only for one night. So he left Buckingham Palace, and he was with the homeless for one evening. But Jesus Christ, the King's Son, left the palace of heaven and came down into this world, not just for one night, but for a lifetime. And he didn't just come to be with us. He became one of us. When the fullness of the times were come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. Now that is humiliation for you. C.S. Lewis used this illustration just to get something of that humbling that the Son of God underwent in becoming a man. He said, imagine a slug on your garden path. And if you were to become a slug, that's just a very weak illustration of what it meant for the Son of God to become a man, for he who created us to become one who's been created. Our minds can't quite get round that. Now, I'm sure we'll be enjoying our Christmas lunches soon, but let me give you a spiritual Christmas dinner here. This is what one theologian said, and this is like roast turkey dinner for me spiritually. I hope it will be for you as well. What worthy return can we make for so great a condescension? The one only begotten God, ineffably born of God, entered the virgin's womb and grew and took the frame of poor humanity. He who upholds the universe, within whom and through whom are all things, was brought forth by common childbirth. He at whose voice archangels and angels tremble, and heaven and earth and all the elements of this world are melted, was heard in childish wailing. The invisible and incomprehensible, whom sight and feeling and touch cannot gauge, was wrapped in a cradle. We were raised because he was lowered. Shame to him was glory to us. He being God made flesh, his residence, and in return, we are lifted anew from the flesh to God. He became poor. Let's continue following his path. How low did he go? Well, he grew up in Nazareth. Can any good thing come from Nazareth? He didn't grow up in the palace in Jerusalem. He was a carpenter's son. His father died when he was still young. And then he started his public ministry when he was 30 years old. He didn't own a house. He often stayed in other people's homes. And he didn't have much clothes to wear. He didn't have much money. He was a poor man. And who were his followers to begin with? Well, mostly fishermen, tax collectors, the unlikeliest of people, a motley crew, if any. That's the kind of life that he lived. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's how low he went. Why am I emphasizing the cross this morning? Surely, Pastor, you've got it wrong. This is Christmas, not Easter. Well, he came in order to go to Calvary. And on that cross, he suffered the worst of humiliations. Not only was he falsely tried, and a miscarriage of justice on a massive scale was carried out when an innocent man, the only innocent man that ever walked this earth, was condemned to the worst form of death. Spiritually, he endured our hell. He became poor. Then the third thing, for your sakes. Why did he come into the world? Why did he have to live for 30 odd years? For your sakes, in order to be our substitutes, because we have failed to keep the law of God and are under the righteous judgments of our Maker. He, for your sakes, kept all the law. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to be circumcised. He didn't have to get baptized. He didn't have to do all the things that he did. But for your sakes, he performed the righteous demands of the law. And the most important thing on that cross was this: for your sakes, he suffered the punishment of the broken law. The soul that sins, God's word says, shall surely die. That's why there's death in this world. But Jesus Christ on that cross suffered for our sins, and he took on death, the last enemy. And as one person put it, when Jesus Christ took on death, death couldn't handle him, because here was the one who was the eternal Son of God, and the perfect man on that cross tasted death for us, and he took that sting of our sin, and he dealt with it for once and for all. I've often used this illustration. This can be the children's talk this morning. A bumblebee. If a wasp stings you, the wasp can go and sting other people because it doesn't lodge its needle in you. But when a bumblebee stings you, it lodges its needle in your flesh, and all the poison goes from that needle into you. And then the bumblebee dies. It can only sting once. And the sting of death is sin. And Jesus Christ on that cross took the sting and all the poison of our sin and all the wrath of God that we deserved. He sucked it himself until he died. And because he has taken the sting, there's no more sting left in death for those who are in Christ. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. For your sakes, he became poor. And then, lastly, that we, through his poverty, might become rich. If you're in Christ this morning, and that's the most important place to be, that's what a Christian is. A Christian isn't a person who's doing good. That's the result of being in Christ. A Christian isn't a person who's in church. This is a good place to be. A Christian is a person who's changed positions. A Christian is a person who was once in Adam, in the world, but now we've been translated into Christ. That's what saves us. That's what gives us all these other things. And if I'm in Christ this morning, it doesn't matter what else may be true of me. It doesn't matter what else may happen to me. I may be going back to a home where I'm all alone. I may be in poverty. I may be suffering all sorts of problems. I may have a life which is a veil of tears ahead of me, or I may have a life that is all easy. But in one sense, it doesn't matter, because I'm in Christ, and in Christ I am rich. Because of all that he did, I now am blessed. Now let me just run through these riches and we'll sing our last carol. How rich am I if I'm in Christ this morning? Let me just go through these things. These are gifts for you. I'm forgiven, that's obvious, because he has tasted death for me, because he has borne the punishment. I'm no longer under condemnation. When I first proved this as a student in Aberystwyth, I couldn't get over it. I used to walk the promenade in the evenings in Aberystwyth, and even if it was a stormy evening, I'd pass by those dining in the Bellevue Hotel, the poshest hotel in Aberystwyth, and I would not be envious of them. I had something that they didn't have. And we are forgiven in Christ. No longer going to hell, but on our way to heaven. But it's not just forgiveness. That's just the starter. I'm also adopted. I am now part of his family. He sets the solitary in families. And that's what happened to me when I was saved in Aberystwyth. The day I was converted, I went to church and somebody said to me, you are now part of a very big family. And what a family to be part of. I have brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. I have him as my older brother. I have God the Father as my father. The Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men might be elevated to sons of God. Oh, my friends, in the words of Billy Bray, I be the king's son. Who be you then? Adopted. And once adopted, adopted forever. Once a Narnian, always a Narnian, in the words of C.S. Lewis. How rich am I? Oh, I'm not just forgiven. I'm not just adopted. I now have the Holy Spirit of Christ in me. I've been born again. I am a new creature, and as I'm getting older, I can see my body getting older. There is decay, change and decay in all around I see. Since we've met here last Christmas, there's probably more grey hairs, more wrinkles. We're going the way of the world, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. And we're becoming ripe for that glory. I'm never going to be alone in this world. I'm going to have Christ with me. I'm going to have Christ in me. I'm going to have Christ for me, working together all things for my good. And then what's ahead? Oh, an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven. One day I'm going to have a mansion. You may only have a little terraced house at the moment. Maybe not even that. But if you're in Christ, he's getting a mansion ready for you. And one day I will have a new body, a perfect soul, a perfect place. May God bless us this morning. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, do you? I'm sure many of us here have experienced it, but I know many of you haven't. I can see children here coming home for Christmas, and you are no longer in the things of God. You've heard this gospel before, but now you've gone far from the fold. Oh, may you especially know this grace of Jesus Christ. May he draw you with the cords of love this morning. And may we all one day, when we get to that eternal realm, may we all find ourselves in that kingdom which cannot be moved, for his name's sake.